tuned into Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, July 21st, and I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. Thanks for being with us. We'll be with you until 11:30 this morning. Today on the broadcast, I'm going to be sharing a report that I produced for the Interference Archive, which is an activist archiving initiative based in Brooklyn. They document materials from social movements, posters, zines, publications, and they also have a podcast called Audio Interference. So I produced a report for the program that looks at the realities and the struggles of frontline workers in Montreal, but particularly people who are struggling with precarious status. And I'll just leave it at that and share the report that I worked on in collaboration with the Interference Archive in Brooklyn. I'm Stefan Christoph in Montreal. This is Free City Radio, broadcasting every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. And here's the report done in collaboration with Interference Archive.
Hello, you're listening to Audio Interference, produced by Interference Archive. Interference Archive is a social space, exhibition venue, and OpenStax archive of social movement material. Our work is rooted in the belief that our shared history should be held in common and accessible to all. On this episode, we have a guest host and producer from Montreal.
Hi, this is Stefan Christoph in Montreal, and this is a guest contribution to Audio Interference, the podcast of the Interference Archive.
Stefan is a journalist, community organizer, and musician based in Montreal. He produced this episode to share a bit about essential workers in the distribution centers in Montreal organizing at the intersection of labor rights and immigrant rights. In Stefan's conversations, we'll hear from Mustafa, an organizer from the Immigrant Workers Center, and from Mohammed, an organizer and supporter of the Status for All movement, organizing specifically with Ghanaian asylum seekers. But first, we'll hear a bit about Free City Radio, Stefan's weekly radio show on CKUT.
So, Free City Radio is, simply put, first a community radio show. Generally, it explores the intersections of social movements and the arts and how community artists are part of those processes of grassroots organizing. The program's been going for a number of years at our community station here in Montreal, which is CKUT 90.3 FM in this city in Montreal. It is a multilingual station, so there is programming in a variety of languages, including Arabic language programming, Creole, Spanish, Portuguese, French, English, Korean, and a number of other languages.
All right, and here's his segment.
In Montreal, since the pandemic hit last spring, 1 year ago, things began to close. But on the front lines, a lot of important services and essential sites did remain open. That included, of course, the distribution centers for essential shops. So pharmacies, the dollar shops were declared essential, and of course, grocery stores. A lot of the people working on those front lines in the distribution centers, also in the shops, but specifically I'm talking about the distribution centers, are non-status people and asylum seekers. The Immigrant Workers Center, which is based in the working class, largely immigrant neighborhood here in Montreal called Côte des Neiges, has been on a mission since last spring to support essential frontline workers who are racialized, including many asylum seekers and non-status people. One of the sites that the Immigrant Workers Center has been supporting is the workers at the Dollarama Warehouse Distribution Center. So that's basically the North America-wide distribution center for the dollar shop called Dollarama. So we're talking about many, many hundreds of workers who are at this distribution center 24 hours a day. There's three shifts and it goes 24 hours. The Quebec government declared Dollarama an essential service. And given that many other businesses were closed, profits at Dollarama were rising throughout the spring and summer last year, but wages were not. And so there was a concerted effort, a campaign to push Dollarama to both boost the wages and also to respect the health and safety of workers. Throughout the first months of the pandemic, Dollarama was not providing personal protective equipment to the workers. So this is something that an ongoing campaign by the Immigrant Workers Center has been addressing. And I thought it would be important to listen to some voices who are linked to this campaign. Voices who have interfered directly in this situation of injustice and worked hard to put a stop to it. We'll first hear a clip from a discussion I had with Mustafa Hanawi, who is an organizer at the Immigrant Workers Center, and give some context for an international audience on why this struggle of Dollarama workers and the struggle of workers at their warehouse center in Montreal is important. So here's Mustafa.
So the issues that these workers face, just to give a little context, so Dollarama is a multinational corporation. It operates now in Latin America. It has part ownership by Bain Capital, which is Mitt Romney's hedge fund. And it's a corporation that employs around 20,000 workers. Most of its operations in terms of its warehousing and distribution is similar to that of, let's say, Amazon or of Walmart, right? So this very hyper neoliberal version of just-in-time distribution of goods, right? So that means that a lot of these workers are temp workers in the distribution center. Almost 90% of them are. It is low wages, precarious. So meaning that to be able to fulfill that, most of these workers are racialized. They're Haitian, West African, you know, living and working under the most harsh conditions without basic health and safety equipment. They're non-unionized. They don't have access to their basic rights. Because they're temp workers, a lot of the time they live in fear because they don't know if they're going to have the job the next day. So those were the conditions prior to the pandemic. And what happened during the pandemic, as what we saw in Amazon and other large workplaces, they became sites of outbreaks as Dollarama in Quebec was declared an essential service because it does sell food items. As a result, when you have 1,000 people in a badly organized workplace, an employer that refuses to respect people's health and safety rights prior to the pandemic only becomes exasperated during the pandemic. And what we were fighting around and what workers were organizing around was essentially the right to not get sick, essentially the right to be able to live. And unfortunately, a lot of these workers knew that this was going to happen and that workers were going to test positive. These are large workplaces where the turnover is like 20 people a day, new workers, because the conditions are so bad. They weren't given proper health and safety equipment. They were not given masks or gloves. The equipment wasn't sanitized. Dollarama kept a policy of secrecy in terms of people who have tested positive. So workers on the site didn't even know if other workers had it. They just know that workers were calling in sick, were not showing up. And many felt there was a racialized aspect to it, that many of the white Quebecois workers were staying at home while many of the immigrant workers who are mostly black were still going into work. And so the Immigrant Workers Center, we've been working with these workers for a number of years, but the urgency came up during the pandemic because we knew there was going to be an outbreak. And we saw what happened in Amazon, where a number of warehouses and fulfillment centers, people had tested positive, and we were beginning to see the same thing, right? And so the Immigrant Workers Center, we work with workers and organizers to actually to go out and flyer the workplace. And then we had workers call in to the Labor Standards Commission and also to the Department of Public Health.
Here in Quebec,
yeah. To demand changes. Unfortunately, the minimum is actually really below maybe what workers would feel safe. So we said we're still going to fight and push around. We had workers speak up and organize a press conference. where workers explained the horrible work conditions that they were facing, that they weren't being able to work 2 meters apart. When cleaners were called in sick, there was no replacement. There was no extra washing stations. There was no sanitization between shifts of the equipment and no gloves or masks. And through the pressure, we saw slowly beginning to change. So as of a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Dollarama began providing masks to all its workers and extra sanitization and disinfection of the equipment, especially because these workplaces, these warehouses, are giant rooms with no ventilation, where hundreds of people are just passing each other 8 hours a day. And so many of the workers are still complaining that it doesn't go far enough. So that's one of the things we're beginning to work on, is that to give a lot of these workers the right to stay home, and also to either declare it as a non-essential service or to reduce the number of workers to make sure that it's safe. But ultimately, it goes down to other issues as well, where if workers don't feel that they have a permanent job, we know this is the case with two workers where someone had tested positive, but they had showed up to work because they were afraid they were going to lose their job if they just stayed at home. So that's kind of fear that workers are living in. Those are like the major issues that we're fighting around still to this moment with workers, and improving the conditions also in the different stores itself.
That was a clip with Mustafa Hanawi, who is an organizer at the Immigrant Workers Center here in Montreal. That's an organization, a community group based in the Côte de Neige borough that is a very immigrant neighborhood in the city, a working class neighborhood, and that's where the center is based. The Immigrant Workers Center has been doing frontline support for workers in essential services, racialized workers, including non-status people and asylum seekers. So in the context of Dollarama, there's been the voices of many workers rising, particularly workers who are also asylum seekers and many who are from West Africa. Given the Francophone connection between West Africa and Quebec here in Canada, and specifically the city of Montreal, there are a lot of asylum seekers from Mali, Guinea, Burkina Faso, Côte d'Ivoire, and also some surrounding countries. There is a cultural connection between Montreal. The diasporas of all those places are significant here. But in the case of Guinea, there has been political instability over recent years. The current president, who's named Alpha Condé, actually changed the constitution last year to allow for the running of a third term. Basically, he was changing the constitution to hold on to power. In response, there was mass protests and a number of people were killed by police forces. This was covered and documented by both Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. But like a lot of political developments in West Africa, there's not a lot of mainstream media coverage within the mainstream news. But back to Montreal, there are a lot of asylum seekers from this region, from Guinea specifically, but also beyond, who are undocumented in some cases. And these refugees are working, and many of them have been working at these distribution centers that the Immigrant Workers Center has been supporting, including the Dollarama Distribution Center that we're talking about here on this segment for audio interference. So I had the chance to speak with Mohamed Berry, who is a former asylum seeker. He is now an accepted refugee in Canada after battling for status for many years. But Mohamed also is a supporter of the Status for All movement. And that is basically a call for regularization, for amnesty for all non-status people, as a way to address the ways that, in fact, people's rights are abused in the context of having no legal status, in the context of work, but also beyond that. Mohamed has been organizing with other Ghanaian asylum seekers to address this reality. They have a committee. This is a conversation we had that gives some context as to the struggle of asylum seekers and non-status people who are working in essential jobs within the context of the pandemic here on Audio Interference.
I've been fighting for migrant rights, or especially asylum seekers, for a long time, more than 5 years now. So asylum seekers are exploited, you know. They don't have the right what they're supposed to get, and they don't have access to proper training in different warehouses. They don't have the proper equipment, and they are paid minimum wage always, or sometimes below the minimum wage, which is unfair.
We have been seeing in the press a lot of criticisms of the Dollarama, which is a dollar store chain in Quebec in Canada, for the practices at their warehouse. But there's other stores that use similar warehouse distribution centers. I'm wondering if you could just talk about the fact that a lot of asylum seekers are employed in these warehouses. And also, given that you worked in one, can you describe the environment? Describe how it looks?
Dollarama, first of all, they don't hire the employees.
Yeah.
They hire them through the agency's placement, which make them always precarious. And it's overcrowded there. I don't know right now, but when I was working there, it's overcrowded. The equipment is not... And as I said, they don't train the employees properly, and there's no air conditioner in summer. It's really, really hot inside, a lot of dust, which is not good for the health. And they take advantage of people's status, because a lot of their employees are newcomers, asylum seekers, or they are working underground. So they cannot complain, and they're taking advantage of that to exploit them. If without those people, such a companies like Dollarama are gonna be closed. Which is not good for the government. So they support the companies.
Well, a lot of people, just to go back on what you're saying. So a lot of people who are asylum seekers from West Africa specifically come here and are rejected. But then they're still living in the city and need work. So these employment agencies that you described basically are then recruiting asylum seekers who are refused for their workplaces, correct?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. They are refused because they still have some options, but because since they are waiting for their status, they cannot complain, they cannot claim any right. You know, they are scared. Even if they have right, they don't know their right. You know, and the companies take advantage of that.
Companies like Dollarama.
Yeah, exactly.
So in a lot of these placement agencies, there's a lot of workers from West Africa, from the Caribbean, from different parts in the world. Like, these agencies are recruiting from refugee communities, from immigrant communities, correct?
But these agency placement, they always recruit the people who are living in precarious. They don't let them have an established job. Always they play the game, because if they know if the unemployed works for like 90 days at the same place,
yeah,
it's supposed to be hired. But if they play the game, if you work 85 or 80 days, then they say that there's no job anymore, so they send you back home for 3 days or 5 days. They send you back in order for you to lose your right.
So there's no permanent work then?
No.
And this is basically like a series of contracts so that the company doesn't have to take legal responsibility over the worker.
Exactly. It's a way of avoiding to give them the right, but like insurance, health insurance, the collective insurance, and a lot of things, vacation, all these things they are losing. And they still have them, you know. They don't have a permanent. They will still looking for a job, always looking for a job. You know? They'll never be established.
The workers.
The workers won't be established.
They won't be.
Yeah. Even if the company wants, sometime the company wants hiring, the agency said, no, you have to work 6 months at least for us in order to be hired by the company.
Wow. Mm. So these placement agencies are sort of like middlemen.
Yeah. Wow. They're coyotes.
Coyotes. Okay. So you're from Guinea, from Conakry, and you've been talking about experiences that you're describing in workplaces that a lot of refugees have been dealing with. But also you've been talking about the importance of refugees getting papers.
Yeah.
So can you talk a bit about how is this connected? How is the rights of workers and specifically refugee workers, their rights in the workplace, how is that connected to their rights for status, just for people who are listening?
Actually, the right, they're exploited at the work. They're contributing in every single step of the decrement, the economic of this country. They're contributing to the well-being of the society, because yeah. If you see the pandemic, the self-isolation happened, the curfew happened, because some people are outside
doing the work.
They're doing the work, mm-hmm. in order to others to get their food on table. That's a great contribution. It is not neglectable. That's why they must be regularized.
Well, let's talk about that. You've been supporting the movement for status. Why is that important for you? And how is it connected to worker rights?
Status is really important, very, very important for migrants, for those who are living precarious.
Because precarious workers,
and once they have their status, they have a right to study, to have a decent work, have a decent training, whatever they want to take, so they won't be exploited. They have right to claim their right, but if they don't have status, even if they have the right, they avoid claiming whenever they, because they are scared it to impact their file.
Yeah, I understand. So you're saying that workers are scared to ask for their rights because they don't have status?
Yeah, they're scared it to impact their mm-hmm. file negatively. They're scared to be rejected because of that.
So they're in that case, then they're working in warehouses?
They're working in warehouses, they don't have all their right. Even if they know, they cannot claim their right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And in Montreal, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people.
A lot of people here, especially from Africa. Mm-hmm. A lot of people been working here for years, for 8 years, 10 years, without status.
So you have been organizing asylum seekers from Guinea specifically to demand status. Mm-hmm. But also, having known you a bit, I know that within this effort to ask for status for Guineans, you've been also talking about the rights of Guinean workers. The two are sort of connected. But can you talk about the Guinean campaign? Why did you start this?
I started this because it's very important, and a lot of Guinean people are rejected, and they were in Canada, deporting in mass. A lot of people have been deported, whether we know or not, because I know only those who are members of the committee. But a lot of people call me when they face deportation, or they have a deportation order, or when they are rejected, they call me to know what is next, because they call the lawyer, and the lawyer don't answer them, or then they call them back. They go to the office, they say, no, you know, we're doing... we're working on the file, but actually they are not.
So I think a lot of people, they don't understand that there are many asylum seekers in Canada who are facing deportation, particularly from West Africa.
Yes. The fact that I think it's the people, they don't know, because a lot of people, they don't show up to the demonstration, or they don't know about the organizations, associations in Montreal. That's why they're scared to talk. They don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Even between Guineans, people like to hide it because they're scared. You know, because a lot of people have been denounced to immigration by their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, people without papers, somebody will call immigration and say, oh, there's a person without papers who lives at this place.
Yeah, exactly. They avoid that, you know. That's why they don't want to talk about
their status. But you're trying to convince asylum seekers to speak out and for non-status people to speak out in public and say together that they need status.
Yeah, but for me, it's not a good idea not to talk about it. Because it's not the fact of you talk about it that you're going to be rejected or you're going to be deported. It depends on how you're working for your file, on what the agent is doing. As long as they reject you, you can do it. Another option. Always, you have something else to do.
Got it.
Yeah, you have to speak out to get supported. If you don't speak, nobody knows what's going on, and you will be the victim.
So instead you're telling people to speak out?
Exactly.
For their working rights and for their rights as refugees?
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you, Mohammed.
You're welcome.
That was Mohammed Berry, who is a Ghanaian community activist here in Montreal and Quebec in Canada. And has been leading the struggle of non-status Ghanaian asylum seekers for status, but also to address their work conditions, linking up with the Immigrant Workers Center. I should note that there is a really great poster that has been designed to support this struggle that is available through the Just Seeds Artist Cooperative. You can find that at justseeds.org, a sister organization to Interference Archive. The poster is designed by Christine Francis. You can look it up. The proceeds go to the Ghanaian asylum seeker group here in Montreal, which is the campaign Statut pour les Ghanéens, status for the Ghanéen. So I wanted to share with you this segment about a local issue happening in Montreal. I should note that both the campaign to support Dollarama warehouse workers and the Status for All movement has seen a plethora of designs, silk screens, wheat pasting in the city, where artists have made basically different designs and posted them up in support of these struggles. I've been one of those artists posting up these designs in Montreal. I've collaborated with a number of different local artists. So there's an intersection here between the struggles of non-status people, essential workers, the struggle for papers for regularization, and also an important role that local artists have been playing to project and support these struggles. So this has been a guest segment from Free City Radio in Montreal. I'm the host of that show. It is both a community radio show broadcasting on Wednesdays here in the city at 90.3 FM in Montreal, CKUT. But I also host my own podcast, which is called Free City Radio. You can find it through Apple Podcasts and other platforms. So I'm Stefan Christophe in Montreal. It's been a pleasure to contribute this segment to Audio Interference. And take it easy. That was a report produced in collaboration with the Interference Archive based in Brooklyn, New York. Thank you for that collaboration. Their podcast is called Audio Interference. I'm Stefan Christophe, and this has been Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. And do stay tuned. The F-Files are coming up next on People-Powered Radio.
CKUT on the air, live for CKUT. Oh, what? CKUT. CKUT. W-R-L-C-K-U.
Sanctified vagabond, speak upon kings. Praise be the king of the fringe. Why not go ahead? Meditate up in the mountain like two mountain dread.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
F-Files Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
All shall be well, all shall be well.
Take it so
shall be well, all shall be well.